Do you want to be better in business or life? Do you want to be able to execute and succeed? You must have a positive mindset. You must believe and stay focused. Do you know what it takes? It takes fuel. Welcome to Fuel Your Drive.
Welcome to Fuel Your Drive. I'm your host, Josh York. As you know, everything is about purpose. This podcast is to give listeners an inside view of some of the most effective practices of successful entrepreneurs. And guys, today, we have a special guest. Let me tell you a little bit about this guest. Our guest today, this man has had a very interesting upbringing from a very entrepreneurial family. He's experienced some very painful years when he began a business that ultimately failed and cost him everything. But as of now, he's purchased and sold over 5,000 properties. He manages over 5,500 properties, owns 100 rental properties, and owns several commercial buildings. Guys, he is one of the country's most sought-out speakers. His goal is to wake people up. And that got me fired up. Like, I was all amped up, right? Because honestly, people don't understand the possibilities. And honestly, look, in this amazing real estate market, really, in their first 10 years, Kent's been able to literally positively impact 20,000 people, entrepreneurs in the world. His mission in the next 10 years is to impact 2 million people and change their lives and create their own dent in the universe, which I love. But let me tell you something. When this man isn't grinding, he's found at the beach with his beautiful wife, his beautiful 3 children, soaking up the sunshine. I hope he's wearing some SPF. Listen, let's introduce my man, Ken Clother. Ken, welcome to the show. Are you fired up, Ken? Because I'm ready to rock and roll, baby.
What is up, baby? Glad to be here. Glad to be on here. Looking forward to this.
Awesome. Awesome. Ken, well, listen, let's get right into it, man. Let's share a little bit of your story. People know about you, but we need more people to know about you. So let's get right into it.
Yeah. So, man, I got started, my story. I like you said, I was raised in an entrepreneurial family. My father owned grocery stores when I was a kid, which kind of led me down a path, if you will, of where we were ultimately started a business when I was 17, buying and selling truckloads of groceries, kind of trading them on the gray market, if you will. And that really kind of got me into my first entrepreneurial venture, if you will, and the little company that I started when I was 17. By the time I was 23, I was doing $50 million a year. By the time I was 27, I was doing $800 million a year. By the time I was 30, I was doing $1.8 billion a year. And we had become ultimately the 7th largest privately held company in the state of Florida, which is all cool. And, you know, it's just kind of part of the story, but clearly doesn't define me, because in the end, only 2 years later, I've been run out of my own company and lost everything. And I would tell you that was a very defining moment for me. And it's certainly part of why I am who I am now, because I think part of our message, or my message, when it comes to waking people up and kind of getting in their heads a little bit, is the fact that whether you believe it or not is irrelevant, but everything can be gone in an instant. And so you better stake your claim now. You better get in a hurry to be successful. You better get in a hurry to get the life that you want. And so ever since that happened, I have kind of been on this path, kind of ventured into real estate, out of groceries, been on this path to the second time around, build the business the right way, not at the expense of my family, but for my family. And ultimately, I've had the good fortune of being wildly successful all over again, but now with a nice dose of balance and reality and a lot of intentional living. Probably the easiest way I would say it, dude.
Listen, I love that, Ken. I love that. I appreciate it. Listen, obviously respect and appreciate your success. But listen, look, I always say people always look at the finished product. People don't look at obviously what it took to get there and all that pain. Let's touch a little bit on those painful years and what it was like. Because, you know, the problem is, look, I take negatives and I'm sure you're going to agree. I slice them down the center. I make them a positive. Everything's about positivity. And I read something about you where you were brought up that good is not good, right? And obviously, you know, there's always that level of great. And that's very true. But during those challenging times, like, walk us through that, because most people just quit. And you can't quit. Quitting's not an option.
Well, I'll tell you, it's real easy to, you know, as Steve Jobs says in his commencement address to Stanford, you can only connect the dots looking backwards. You can never connect them looking forward. And so I believe in that passionately. And certainly as I've gotten older, I absolutely understand that, because when you're going through the hard times, you have no idea that you're actually going to make it out alive, right? You just believe that you got to keep moving, because what's the alternative? Sit there and wallow in misery. But I can tell you, I had spent my entire life up to that point, 17 until I was 30, basically investing every moment of my life into a business. And like I said, at the expense of my family. So all of my self-worth, everything that I knew about myself, everything I knew about being a man and being a leader, was wrapped up into this existence that I had created. And I didn't know anything different, right? And so where it had been very profound for me to go in my 20s to build a really successful company, I'd also done it, you know, made a ton of mistakes, again, with family and relationships and everything else. So when you're sitting there and you're all wrapped up in that, and suddenly, you know, in 2 years, it's all gone, 22 months, right? Basically, I got in a pissing match with the owners of my company. I had been bought out much, you know, a few years before, 3 years before. And I, although I was still running the company and under my guidance and leadership, along with several others, we exponentially grew the company. I believed as a 30-year-old, really successful guy that I was entitled to get more ownership in the business. And we just had a difference of opinion. And in the flash of an eye, I walked out and it was done. I just walked out and said, I'm done. And decided I was going to go build a company in spite of them, which is a horrible way to start a business, by the way. It's a horrible way to start anything, but much less a business. And so when you're pissed off and you're starting the company saying, I'm going to make them regret that they ever let me out the door, that's just a horrible place to be. So I was already in a bad place. Yep. And started a business and proceeded over 22 months to lose every single dollar I had ever earned in my life and saved to that point. Made every bad business decision you could ever make. Decided I was going to go try to steal their employees. I was going to go try to steal their customers. Got on all kinds of litigation. Just made every dumb boneheaded move you could possibly make just because I was full of crap and didn't know any better and full of myself. And so the reason I share that part of it is because when all of that's ripped away from you and all of your self-worth is tied up into that, to say that that was humbling would be the biggest understatement that I could ever state, right? It was devastating. It was the worst of the worst. I mean, and when you're in the worst of the worst, there is no fighting. You don't have any fight left in you. You're just getting the ever living crap kicked out of you every single day. And it's like you're drowning. You can't get above it. And so I look back on it and I never thought I would look back on it fondly. But I can tell you, I'm so unbelievably grateful for going through that because it taught me everything I needed to know about myself and everything I needed to know about what it takes to actually win. And that you know, if it's worth doing, it's worth fighting for. And so all I was trying to do while I was going through it, dude, was survive. But in the end, I was learning invaluable lessons about what it looks like to want something so badly, as bad as you want to breathe, right? As bad as you want to stay alive, wanting it that bad, that is the kind of dedication it actually takes. I had no choice. I was completely destitute. I had gone from having $2.2 million in the bank to having less than $4,000 in 22 months. And I promise you, that is not a fun ride. All of that money went to making bad business decisions and attorneys and everything else. There was nothing pleasurable coming out of any of that stuff. On the way down, I'd burnt every relationship, every business relationship, every single way I had to make money was all gone. And so what's that like? Horrible, devastating. But in the end, it put me into a box, which I think this is really an important lesson, because what I have found is that it's in those moments, you know, you're going to be defined by that moment one way or the other. Either you're going to be defined as the person or persons that's going to just crawl up in a hole and die and you know, basically participate in life at best, kind of survive at worst, or you're going to get up and you're going to dust yourself off and you're going to figure out a way to get back on top. And you know, it took me a little while. It took me a little soul searching. Luckily, I had my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, that stepped in and kind of picked me up and dusted me off and got me going in the right direction. I had a lot of mentors that kind of believed in me and kept pushing me along. But it was when you're in that moment and all you're trying to do is just survive, you're not looking 15, 16 years ahead thinking, oh my God, one day I'm going to be back on top. You're just like, man, I hope I can actually put food on the table next week. And so when people talk about, you know, they see the success and everything today, but it's really, the come up isn't always that sexy, man. There's a lot of pain and struggle that goes with that come up.
Oh, I hear that, my friend. Trust me, I have many of my stories that were not, you know, it's not about me, it's about you. A lot of people know my stories, but I trust me, I'm with you 100%. But, you know, the message that you, look, everyone who's listening to this right now has to understand something. Like, this sound like this was pretty bad, Kent, right? This is pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you that. I mean, it was nothing short of me being suicidal. I mean, if you want to get real honest and real down and dirty, I mean, it was right there. You're thinking to yourself, man, it would be a lot easier if I didn't have a son and I didn't have people that care about me and I was a selfish bastard. I can tell you right now, that was a real good, and that at that moment when you're hurting that bad, that seemed like a really good alternative because it was that devastating. When your darkest fears are right there and you're looking them straight in the face and saying, man, that looks pretty good.
And now you got over 5,000, that 5,000, you know, that you purchased and sold. Look at the properties. Think about this. And managing right now, we're 5,500. Do you hear what's going on here, people? See, the problem is, and people need to understand this, is, look, I see what you got on your bracelet right there. The time is now. I see that. I see that. The time is now. It's now.
Time is now. It's on my arm now as well. So
I tell people this all the time. There's no, people don't commit. And when they get knocked down, they stay down. That's the problem. And people need to listen from this perfect example. Like, Ken was pretty much at the point where he was like suicidal. It was so bad. And look where he's at today. Because you believed, you had a vision, you had someone to help you and support you. But what do you say to those people that didn't have someone to help you and support you? Like, how do people get past that? Because look, anxiety is a big thing, right? Everyone deals with anxiety, but it's how you manage it. And like, what do you tell those people, Ken? Like, how do you tell these people that don't have the support system? Or maybe, let's say they don't have a child. Like, where would they be? Like, how do you get past that?
Well, you have to, you know, I've worked with a lot of people now over the years, and I can tell you that the one easiest way that I find that I share with people, and this very question is, you have to ask yourself, when you find yourself beat up and anxious and not inspired and, you know, kind of feeling like you're underwater a little bit, you have to ask yourself, am I more focused on the obstacle or more focused on the opportunity? And I promise you, if you will get out of the habit of focusing on the obstacle and start focusing on the opportunity, right? Get on focused on what the finish line is. Don't get so focused on, right, what this, I got to get over that mountain, that hill, that other. Think about what life can be like if you just keep moving versus, man, life sucks today. If you will get more focused on the opportunity on a day-to-day basis versus so focused on the obstacle, we are surrounded by people, right? Whether it's people, whether it's the press, whether it's news, media, it doesn't matter. The world is filled with people that have no problem wagging their finger in front of your face and telling you how you can't do this or that. And quite frankly, if you really evaluate most of those people that are around you, you'll find, at least in my humble opinion, that there's very few people around us that are actually living the life that we want to live, right? We are a product of the people we surround ourselves with. And so if you're surrounding yourself with a bunch of, you know, jagoffs that aren't living big, then you're a product of that. And so it's really challenging when you have people that are not supporting you, not picking you up, not pushing you up, not for you to suddenly elevate your game. So, and what happens is when those people are around you, what they are doing to you is they're forcing you to look at the obstacles. They're forcing you, what they're pointing out is, this is why you can't do that. This is why you can't do this. This is why you don't deserve that. They're making you, putting a light on the obstacle instead of, man, I just want you to, let me just show you, let me demonstrate what it looks like to have and get the big opportunity out of life. Let me show you what it looks like to live big, to have everything you want, to be able to control your time, be able to do what you want to be when you want to do. When you get around that kind of mindset, again, people that look at the opportunity versus the obstacle, you'll be amazed at how different it is. But it starts by just that one, you know, kind of audit of your own mental well-being. What am I focused on? Am I looking at the obstacles? Am I looking at the opportunity? Focus on the opportunity. The obstacles are there regardless. The opportunity is what life is about, what you can actually do if you'll just keep moving.
100%. Look, one of our mutual friends, Ed, he said something a long time ago to me, and it just really stuck with me. Things don't happen to you. They happen for you. And it's really spot on. And that applies to exactly what you're touching on right now. It's really, really powerful. Everything's how you take it into perspective and how you look at things. It's just that simple. But when you are down, listen, when you hit the bottom, there's only one way to go, and it's up. You just got to focus on that. So listen, so what really rocks you, Ken? What motivates you? What gets you going? Like, what's someone besides, you know, your family, like, what really drives you? Like, we talked about what your purpose is, but what's the drive behind it? Because everyone's got a drive behind it.
Well, I'm 49, right? So I've gotten to a place in my life where I clearly realize now what I'm good at and what I'm passionate about. I know why I'm doing what I'm doing on each and every day. It is no longer about the money. I'm very fortunate that that's no longer the place where I am, but it is certainly about why I get up and kind of push every day. And I love it when the light bulb goes off, right? And I'm sure you experience the same thing. When that light bulb goes off, when you can finally see that somebody gets it, they're like, oh my God. It's almost, you know, we've all seen the movie, or most of us have seen the movie, The Matrix, right? It's like when suddenly somebody wakes up and they realize, wow, everything I believed to be true has just been a falsehood. It's been a web of lies that have been given to me, been force fed. You never had a choice. From the moment you were born, this is what you were destined to believe. When you just realize that there's this whole set of truths that are sitting out there and you are in complete control, you have the ability. We live in this amazing time, amazing country, amazing opportunity. You live in a time when you can actually do something. That to me, when that light bulb finally goes off, it really, really matters to me. And people ask me, you know, kind of a derivative of that question is, why do you do what you do? Well, because, you know, I realized a long time ago that time is what it's all about. And so I'm in a hurry to change as many people and wake as many people up as I possibly can. I can't think of anything more rewarding. But equally, because we all have those days when we don't want to do it, what makes me actually get up on those days and do it is because I am kind of haunted by this thought that we are all destined for the same outcome, right? What I mean by that is there ain't anybody getting out of here alive. We're all going one way or the other. And I often find myself wondering, like, if it happened today, who would get on an airplane in the next 3 or 4 days and fly out here and walk up to my young daughters and shake their hands and say, your father mattered. And I find that thought and knowing that I can have impact on tens of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands, millions of people eventually, that one thought is just enough to keep me moving, because that's what my mission is. I really want to help as many people as I can, because I feel like I've unlocked something inside of myself and I've gone through all of this for that particular reason.
Love it. I love it, Kent. I love it, man. Fantastic. Fantastic. So, you know, you built a team. Like, walk me through that, you know, because I have my philosophies and, you know, people want to definitely hear from some other people, but what does it take to build a successful team? What keeps that motor running? What have you found to be very successful in obviously building a team? Because that's not easy. It's not easy.
Well, I'm very fortunate. Like I said, I was raised in an entrepreneurial family. I got to watch my father do this for years, who is a master at it. He has built a company there with my brothers, Memphis Invest, that, as you pointed out, a lot of the statistics, I mean, they are wildly successful beyond anybody's measure now. And they have an amazing culture. And we've done the same here with Real Estate Worldwide and Cribs and all of our companies, right? We have several companies now that we run in the real estate space that are all, you know, hugely successful. And I can tell you, it really comes down to, how do you build a team? How do you build a culture? It all comes from two things. One, you have to humble yourself. And what I mean by that is that a lot of people get caught up in believing they are better than they are. And they think they get trapped by this thought. As a solopreneur or somebody who's got a, you know, relatively small business, I get trapped by the thought of nobody's ever going to do it as good as I do it. And I promise you, if you think that way, you are destined to always own the job for sure. And so the first way you build a system and process and teams and a company is you humble yourself. You realize that you ain't as good as you think you are, baby. You need to surround yourself with people that are a hell of a lot better than you and put it in check and let them lift you up. A rising tide raises all ships, right? And so a lot of people, they either don't hire, or the people they hire are morons because they believe they should be keeping them down. And it is exactly opposite. Hire people that are better than you and everybody elevates. That's how you get to the next level, which takes a lot of pushing your ego to the side, humbling yourself, getting your pride out of the way. The second thing I'll tell you that it takes is leadership. And leadership is a skill that can be taught. You know, some people get it naturally, but, you know, it is something that you can learn. And leadership is very different than management. The world is full of managers, people that can figure out what the numbers are, keep the books balanced, keep the money in the account, figure out how to get the receivables collected, keep sales going. Those are managers. Leaders are people that inspire, not only know the numbers, not only know the ins and outs, they know how to get their ideas and to make them into a reality. And they can surround themselves with people that want to see them to be successful and all want to participate. Leadership is what really is the hidden gem there, right? Is that if you go look at the greatest football coaches or the greatest coaches, greatest CEOs, they were much more than managers. They're leaders. They're people that they dared to be different. They weren't afraid to push in. They weren't afraid to put it all on the line. They're not afraid to push their company ahead. They're not afraid to hold people accountable. They're not afraid to sit down and train people and demand the best out of people and be willing to hold them and believe in them more than a lot of times they believe in themselves. That's what leadership looks like. So I think between kind of humbling yourself and making sure that you're willing to put people in place is one thing, and then turning around and stepping up and being the leader, being the one that's kind of out in front, not leading from the back, like pushing out in front, saying, I got it. If there's a mistake that's been made and somebody's got to take a bullet, let me take it. That's what leadership looks like. And I think a lot of people miss that because they misidentify that they need to be a good manager.
I love it. Listen, I don't know, man, if you got like some wire bug in my office, you hear me speaking, but I literally, that sounded like I was talking. I always say rising tide raises all ships. I always talk about leadership. Ken, we literally have a gas tank that sits in our office. It's the title of my book. It's Fuel. And fuel is the concept I have of what it takes to survive in a business. And it's the four components that every business model needs: fun, unity, earnings, and leadership. And that is how we run our whole entire business. And that aligns with drive, because you can't drive without fuel. And drive is our core values: determination, respect, integrity, versatility, and excellence. So we are talking the same language here. You get me all jacked up.
I love it.
I love it, man. So listen, this is great. You're talking about leadership. Look, as I say, teamwork makes the dream work. Your man, Billy Jean, and I, he was on here as well as a guest. We were talking about this as well. He gets it. I say, you got to have fun. If you're trying to run a business and you think like a boss, you're going to die. You're going to burn and die, and you're not going to be able to survive, because it's a stat, and I know you're going to love this, but this is an actual stat. 75% of people drive to work every day committing spiritual suicide. They hate their job. They stare at the clock. They're miserable. And it's another stat that they spend 3 to 4 hours per day working on non-work related tasks. And that's why you got to flip the script. And this is why so many businesses don't get it, but you're smart enough to understand it. And obviously, you know, I really, you know, I don't wear a hat, but if I was wearing it, I'd tip it to you, my man. But anyway, so Ken, let's talk a little bit. Back in the day when you were going through those challenges, like how bad, like how far would you go to be able to succeed? You know, like how far were you willing to really drive? Because people understand that you can get back up, but people don't understand how much it really takes and how much you'd be willing to do, like to go all in to make your dreams come true, which you did.
That's a great question. What I'm asked a lot. I mean, I get asked a variation of basically, what does it take? And my comment, as always, is more. That's it. There is no enough. There is no limit. There is no outcome. There is no finish line. It's just more. Life is meant to be lived. And I believe your business is a direct extension of you personally, period. So to your point, having fun and doing the things and being social and kind of creating this team and the people around you, all of that's part of it, right? But at the end of the day, the business starts with you. And so I look at life the same way I look at business. It's about more. There is no finish line. I'm here to live the best life. I'm here to have the most fun. I'm here to do what I want to do out of my life. I'm not here to let somebody else's dogma, somebody else's opinion drive in any way, shape, or form what my life looks like. You've got yours. I've got mine. I'm here to create mine. I'm here to get mine. I'm here to do what I can do. And I'm here to show and demonstrate to my kids that they can do the exact same thing, whatever that looks like. And so when you're in that moment, it isn't about, and by the way, those moments don't die. You know this as well as I do. In any business, there's just more of those moments. They may not be extreme, but there's probably not a month that goes by that there's not some level of anxiety where we're taking on a new project, opening up a new vertical, releasing a new product, something where there's a bunch of angst around it. And you're just like, man, we're going through a lot right now, right? To try to get this thing to the next level. And people ask, why do you do that kind of stuff? And I'm sure you get the same. It's because it can be done. Because what is the alternative? You know, I had a mentor that used to tell me this, and I still believe it every single day. I quote it all the time, is there's only one way to coast, and that's downhill. And if you're not pedaling, you're going in the wrong direction. You got to pedal to get up that hill. And I just always think about it. If I'm coasting, then I'm going in the wrong direction. And it just feels very, very uncomfortable. So when I'm in there battling, when I'm in there doing what I'm doing and trying to survive and trying to just get a paycheck. And, you know, when you're first starting out and, you know, I talk to you all the time about trying to walk away from a 9-to-5 and get into the entrepreneurship side of it. And I get it. I get all of it. But nothing's promised. There is no timeline. There is no, well, I've got to do it in 30, 60, 90 a year. None of that is the way it actually works. It's you just don't stop. It's just more. Just keep going. And eventually, most assuredly, if you keep going and you keep putting into action the things you learn, you will get there. But it is not on your timeline. It is on someone else's. So you might as well just keep on, just resign to that fact and keep moving, baby.
I love it. I love it. And you touched on something that I talk about with everybody because it's so important because people need to understand. I always say you have to be uncomfortable in order to get comfortable. And if you want to grow, look, I tell everyone this all the time. People are like, come on, Josh, I don't believe that. I do a lot of speaking, okay? Every time before I speak, I get nervous. I get anxiety every time, but I use that as fuel. But that's uncomfortable. But I got to be honest with you, over the years of doing it, I'm not uncomfortable anymore. I do it like anything else, like brushing my teeth or getting ready, you know, or gelling my hair, which is a joke. We're two good looking bald guys here. So, but anyway, the point is you got to be uncomfortable. You got to be willing to do those things that other people won't do. That's how you grow. Come on, Ken, talk to me about that.
Yeah, I can assure you, if you are comfortable, that is a sure sign you're going in the wrong direction. It's okay to live there for a few moments, you know, whatever. But the reality is if you are comfortable, that's not a healthy place to be. If you want to live an amazing life, if you're trying to do things that most only dream of, then you do not have to look very hard. Go look at any entrepreneur. Go look at anybody that you respect. Sports figures, it doesn't matter. Every single one of them are pushing themselves harder than they ever had or ever have up to that point because they expect more. They believe there's more out there for them. If you are comfortable, then that's really hard to accomplish. I mean, that's by definition, you're not pushing all in. By definition, you're kind of taking your foot off the gas. And that is just not, to me, I just don't understand the point of it. Now, you can have a healthy respect. Don't get me wrong. You definitely want to have gratitude, and you definitely want to be in a place where you clearly understand that you are achieving more than most. I mean, I went to Haiti a few years ago, and I got the distinct honor to go there and be humbled when you see what real suffering looks like, when you see what real people trying to just survive, what that actually looks like. People that would quite literally trade your worst day, your worst day you've ever had in your life, they would trade their best day for you in a second for that day. That's how bad their lives are. And so when you're sitting there, you definitely want to be gracious. You want to be grateful that, God, I'm in this amazing place. But it's okay to be uncomfortable too and say, but I feel like there's more. And I feel like I've got more to prove out of life. And I think that's just a healthy place to live.
I agree. So, listen, we got a lot of great things here that we agree about. So growth is obviously very important. And I believe self-development is the number one most important thing. So what would you recommend on a self-development side? Because I talk about this all the time. Look, I even will read books or listen to books that I know everything about pretty much just to see if I can get one nugget out of it. Because if I get one nugget out of it, it's obviously beneficial to me. But then again, going after and surrounding myself, because look, not many people know who I am yet. I've been hibernating the last 10 years, but now I'm coming out to play and everyone's going to know about me very soon. But I've been focused. I'm laser focused. So over the years, I've been grinding and building my business into one of the, you know, right now we're the fastest growing in the fitness space, which is great on the personal training side. But talk about self-development. Tell me a little bit what your thoughts on it, because I know you're a big believer in it. What is your whole overview on that?
Well, it's just, you know, it's kind of an extension of what we just said, right? I mean, is that if you are coasting, if you're not trying to improve, if you're not feeding your mind, here's the way I look at it. Your mind is kind of like a vacuum. And at the end of the day, that space is going to get filled by something. And there is billions of dollars being spent every single month to fill that vacuum in between your ears with as much crap as humanly possible, yep. Whether that is on social media, whether that is in the news, whether that is in the media. I mean, it doesn't matter. There is just so much coming at us so fast that if you take a passive approach to it, if you just believe that I'm just not going to do anything, by virtue of making that decision, you're doing something. You're basically going to start paying attention to the noise. And the reason why is because the noise is so damn loud and there's so much of it. And so taking your own life into your hands and ultimately deciding that you're going to control your own destiny, a huge component of that is you never stop feeding your mind. You never stop learning. You never stop surrounding yourself with people that are playing at a level that's higher than you. You mentioned it earlier. We were talking about Ed Milet and Lewis Howes and Bedros and, you know, Lo Silva and all these guys that we have all in common here. And these are people that play at an extremely, extremely high level. And you don't get into those circles by accident, right? You gotta push. And I tell people this a lot. You know, if you're not sitting at the table, I can assure you your ass is on the menu. Somebody is planning your demise. And so getting a seat at the table, getting into the masterminds, getting into coaching programs, getting into those places where you get that shared experience, continuing to feed your mind through books and seminars and online learning. I mean, I spend over $100,000 a year on my education. I mean, people ask me all the time, you know, what do you, well, I'm one of the original War Room members. I'm in several masterminds. I own Grant Cardone's entire online academy. I own several. I mean, I'm a student of the game, right? I go and buy everybody's stuff because I want to continue to see not only what other people are doing, but a lot of times I can learn what people are doing just in their sales process by going through it, right? That's my way of also learning as well. Continuing to listen to the books, continuing. If you're not doing that, again, you're coasting and you're going in the wrong direction. And people are always shocked when they hear guys like us talking about how we still invest hundreds of thousands of dollars in our education. I think it would be extremely disingenuous to have people pay me as much money as they pay me to coach them if I wasn't willing to do the exact same. I mean, you will always be your best buyer.
100%. Yeah, listen, I always put my money where my mouth is every time. If I'm suggesting it to someone else, I'm doing it myself. And I invest a lot of money in education. Sometimes, like, you know, look, I always surround myself with other, you know, like-minded individuals, but I do so have some friends from high school, and I'll talk to them and hang out once in a while, but I'm very busy, so I don't really always have the time. But, you know, I've told someone I've spent over $100,000 in the mastermind. They look at me like I'm crazy. Like, you could buy a gorgeous car for that, or you could spend that and go on this ridiculous vacation, or you got to invest in your mind. It's so important. And I tell everyone that. So,
well, I think you just made a huge, I just want to point it out because I think there's one of the things that I find people that they lose sight of, and they don't understand the power of language, right? And you just use two really powerful words that I'll tell you separates people that are wildly successful and people that are not, in my opinion, over the years. When you talk about it and you talk about that $100,000, you talk about it as an investment, right? I invest $100,000. I invest, which implies that you expect a return. If I invest money or invest time, I expect an ROI. I expect to get something in return. I expect it to be a significant return. That's the difference. Because when you invest $100,000, when you spend $100,000 on a car, big difference. One is the way a consumer thinks, and one is the way an entrepreneur thinks. And I think that one subtle word, just the difference there, if people will just focus on it and change their language, that $100,000 or $25,000 or that $100 whatever it is you're trying to buy online course, you want to use empowering language, it's an investment and you should expect a return. And if you invest $100 and go buy an online course or go invest in a franchise, you're going to work your ass off to make sure you get a return on that investment. If you look at it as an expense, just like any other expense, man, it's out the door.
100%. Look, it all comes down to sacrifice. How much you're willing to do. Look, I remember when I couldn't afford anything. Look, I always say I've had more negatives over the years in my bank account than sunny days in the Caribbean. I've had some crazy stories that, you know, you and I could talk offline one day about it, Kent. But, you know, look, at the end of the day, it's all about obviously staying focused, staying the path, and just figuring out a way. It's always going to be okay. I used to go payroll to payroll about 5-6 years ago. Kent, payroll to payroll. How am I going to make payroll this week? How am I going to make payroll this week? Everyone on the outside thinks I'm this multi-millionaire, and I'm killing it, and I'm doing great things. But I was literally dying. But then we talk about leadership. I could never show my true colors because I always say a true leader has to also be an actor. So when I'm walking out there to the rest of my team, I'm fired up. I'm excited. Meanwhile, inside, I'm like dying inside because I'm struggling and challenging. But I always believed. I always knew I was going to get there. And here we are today. And I don't have those days, thank God, anymore. But I've paid the pain. And look, like you said earlier, if you want massive results, you have to put ridiculous massive action into it. It's just that simple, but you got to push harder and push harder and push harder. So we're on the same page there. But listen, before we wrap up, one question I always like to ask, and sometimes I throw people off because most people don't ask this question. If you were conducting this interview, what question would you ask?
What question would I ask? What's the single biggest lesson you've learned throughout your career? Or what would be the advice I would go back and give my 20-year-old self? Those are probably the two questions that I like. I always am intrigued by those answers, and I would ask them of myself. And I can tell you, my answer always comes back to is you have to have a really healthy respect for time. you know, I think, and we didn't get a lot of time to talk about it here, but I think a massive component to success is having a very healthy relationship with time and realizing that the clock is ticking. It is not on your side. Most people walk around with their head in the clouds, believing that time is on their side. They'll get to it tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. And from every day, somebody dies with that promise. And it is not where you want to be. I've had several instances in my life where I was completely humbled, and I shared one of them, but I've had others where I've completely humbled to a place where I've had to wrap my mind around how fast time is moving. And you need to be in a hurry to create the life that you deserve. And if you truly believe you deserve it, and you truly, you know, whether it's you're getting on podcast or whether you're educating yourself, and then you start taking the actions, the thing that has to drive you is that the time is now. Again, you talked about it. It's on my wrist. It's on my tattoo. I believe in this with every fiber of my body, that I have no intention of living my life with 1 ounce of regret. When I go out, I will go out knowing that I tried to wring out everything I possibly could out of every minute of every day. And I believe that is a very, very healthy place to be, both as a father, as a leader, as a husband, as a brother, as a son, that I go out there and I try to collect as many moments as I possibly can. I don't try to go out and collect a bunch of crap. I'm all about moments, baby. I want to get as much out of life as I possibly can. And I think that when you bring the element of time into the equation with the plan and you respect how fast it can get away from you, you will move very, very differently. You won't spend your time making somebody else's dreams come true. You will spend your time making your dreams come true first. And that's where I think is a really good place to be.
Well, what a way to finish, man. If I had a microphone, I'd drop it right now, because that was fantastic, man. Fantastic, Ken. Well, listen, appreciate you being a guest on Fuel Your Drive podcast. Really enjoyed it. How was the energy, Ken? Was the energy good enough for you, my man?
I love it, brother. One of my favorite podcasts. This is great, bro.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, listen, until next time, guys, continue to fuel your drive. I'm your host, Josh York. Guys, share this. Kent, let everyone know where they can find you, please.
Hey, I'm easy to find. Just go to kentclothier.com, or you can find me on Facebook or Instagram. Just go find Kent Clothier. We'll hook up there, and everything you need is like on our website or certainly are linked out from those two social networks.
Fantastic. Listen, guys, follow my man, Kent. He's going to provide knowledge nuggets. He'll impact your life. He'll do great things. Until next time, fuel your drive. Take care.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast, Fuel Your Drive. Please be sure to subscribe and leave a review. I'd really appreciate it. And also, make sure you follow Gym Guys on Instagram. And, of course, myself, Josh York GG. We're going to change the world. And we want to help you along the journey.